नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 10, text number 6.
Nādhayo vyadaya klesha Daiva bhūtātma hitavaha Ajātra shatrava bhavan Jantunam ragni karhichit
Translation, because of the kings having no enemy, living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To be nonviolent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of poor animals is Satan's philosophy. That's the opening sentence. In this age, there is enmity toward poor animals, and therefore the poor creatures are always anxious. The reaction of the poor animals as being forced on human society, and therefore there is always strain of cold or hot war between men, individually, collectively, or nationally. At the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there were no different nations, although there were different subordinate states. The whole world was united, and the supreme head, being a trained king like Yudhisthira, kept all the inhabitants free from anxiety, diseases, and excessive heat and cold. They were not only economically well-to-do, but were also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power, by enmity from other living beings, and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies. There's a proverb in Bengali that a bad king spoils the kingdom and a bad housewife spoils the family. This truth is applicable here also. Because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, and because he was no one's enemy, and because he was a recognized agent of the Lord and therefore protected by him, all the citizens under the king's protection were, so to speak, directly protected by the Lord and his authorized agents. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. There is full cooperation between man and God and man and nature, and this conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhisthira, can bring about happiness, peace, and prosperity in the world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of the day, will only bring misery. End of purport. Nādayo vyādaya klesha daiva bhūtātma hetavaha ajāta shatrau bhavavan Jantu nam rajni karachit. Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat and cold. The chapter is departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, but before he's departing, we're hearing from following chapter 9, after Bhishma Dev's instructions, Yudhisthira assumes the throne under Krishna's protection. And that's where the discussion begins, and it should be, or we're being reminded in the purport, that's the operative principle in his good government. Because he was, twice he says in the purport, recognized by the Lord. And from his side, submissive to the Lord, he was protected by him. And because he was protected by the Lord, he was then able to do his service properly. Stepping back and taking the essence or the abstraction from the message, we're hearing the characteristics of an ideal king. We're also hearing the characteristics of an ideal person, because the citizens are to follow the king, or say it differently, each of us in our various situations of life have persons who look up to us, family members, for example, or groups of people, for example. And as Vaishnavas within the world, for example, we're supposed to set an example. We're supposed to give, by example, an indication to others how to lead one's life. Just as Krishna describes, yad yad acharati shreshas tat tat eve tarorjana. The Shrestas, those who are the best, are setting an example and others will follow that example. It's just a principle. It's not a matter of anything. I'm better than you or da 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 da. It's not like that. It's just a principle of life. And according to Vedic culture, those who are Vaishnavas are the best amongst all living beings. At least, that's their position. So if Vaishnavas, the converse, if Vaishnavas don't behave in an exemplary manner, how can we expect the rest of Evi Tarorjana, the rest of the people, to behave in a proper manner? So, it's incumbent upon the Vaishnavas in the world to be exemplary. And now we'll go back. The starting point of exemplary is to be fully at the disposal of the personality of Godhead, as he so wishes. Or, stated in other language in the Bhagavatam, having no separate interest. And then we'll say it the other way. Having separate interest is where the problems begin. Having separate interest is where all problems begin. If any of you at some stage of your life are finding a struggle, this is a good place to look. Do I have separate interest? Now, go back to the situation after having examined that, and if there is a struggle, let that struggle be a struggle where the interests of the Lord, not what others are doing, but my own purpose, what the interest of the Lord is to be fulfilled. I just came across a very nice quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where, the context was somebody was expressing their understanding of the necessity of sadhu sangha, but then on the other hand, their fearfulness of the strictness of a sadhu, because in feeling themselves to be not, well, to be fallen, to be not elevated, to be in the presence of a sadhu who is within themselves strict, they would stay away from sadhu sangha, feeling fearful or embarrassed or something. So there's a lot to say on that topic, but there's a nice quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where it says, those who are strict followers of the regulations of the Vedas, or those that are not strict followers of the regulations of the Vedas, should dedicate all their activities to the satisfaction of the Personality of Godhead. Those that are strict, like the king, Yudhisthira, or the Vaishnavas, ourselves, we should, with our mind and senses and our hearts, be submissive to the Personality of Godhead and, in Prabhupada's language, be strict followers, as much as we can, according to our capacity. Strict, not just like stern, but strict follower means we don't go this way, we don't go that way, we follow. There's an example, and we follow the example. We may not have the capacity of the one we're following, but we see the principles by which they lead their lives, and we follow to our capacity. And that leads to our elevation. So while the sadhu, like Srila Prabhupada, was personally very strict on the car ride from the Juhu temple to the Bombay airport, the person that was with me was asking, can you tell me some of your experiences with Prabhupada? So I chose to speak about this. Personally, so it's like very nice balance. Personally, he was very strict, and in dealings with others, he was very kind and gentle and tolerant. He didn't expect the same standards of the persons who he was interacting with as he was himself. A very nice example is Sally Agarwal. Those of you that have read Lilamrita, you know who Sally Agarwal is. Following World War II, visas weren't being issued by any country. The walls were up, barriers. People couldn't move from this country to the other country. But when tourist visas started to become available, Mr. Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania, happened to send, at his father's request, an invitation to Prabhupada to come on a tourist visa to America from India. With that letter of sponsorship, Prabhupada got his tourist visa to America. And when he went to the home of the Agarwals in Butler, Pennsylvania, the son of the Agarwal gentleman that Prabhupada knew had become very you say, westernized, or you know, like not following anything, basically. And what to speak of his wife, Sally, American lady that, you know, nice, pious lady, but didn't know anything about standards, certainly not strictness. And she described several things about her experience with Prabhupada, but it repeated was, he was so kind. Another was, he never made me feel uncomfortable, although I know he was a holy man. Living in their home, he never made me feel uncomfortable. Strict, but very tolerant. And by, she didn't become a, you know, a sadhaka, but she had great appreciation for Prabhupada. If you remember from reading Lilamrita, when Prabhupada came, there was a small son. His name is Bridge. Remember that from reading? So we didn't know this, that Bridge moved from Butler, Pennsylvania, once he got his education and job, to somewhere close to St. Louis, which is in the central part of the United States. And Sally Agarwal and her husband came to visit Bridge. And when they did, they stopped to visit. I don't even, maybe even they stayed at the St. Louis temple. And she is saying the same thing so many years later. He was such a nice man. I mean, she didn't have a, you know, she wasn't a sadhaka. But her regard for Prabhupada and therefore her regard for Krishna was just glowing. I wasn't there when she came, but the devotees said it was just phenomenal how Prabhupada had touched her heart. While he was being strict, they were very comfortable in his presence. Because, so this is, and this relationship here is this term ajata shatra. Ajata shatra is one who has no enemy. Like the six Goswamis, dira dira jana priyo. They were priya, they were very dear to the gentle and the ruffians alike. They had no enemies. They had no enemies because they weren't they because of their quality. They didn't want something that somebody else had, and their position was completely humble and pure. And so even the ruffians regarded them with respect. What to speak of the gentle people regarding them with respect. Now that's the sadhu, the Goswamis, or Srila Prabhupada, then there's the king. And as a king, part of the king's duty is to give protection. That is, when people would be exploitative of others, then the king, because it happens, the king must give protection. Now that looks like then there's enmity between the mischief makers and the one who's the disciplinarian of the mischief makers. We're discussing this in the car ride from the airport. It happens in ISKCON. I mean, it happens in the world. It happens because they're conditioned souls that have separate interest. Even in the circle of devotional service, separate interest may be there. That may be there. We're conditioned souls. It's there. And so now, how to free ourselves from, supposing somebody doesn't want to free themselves, they see this is a good opportunity. I have all these nice, gentle people around me, and I have my separate interest. Here I go. And then somebody, the head, and so whether it's the head of a family or the head of a community or the head of a temple or the head of a department or somebody that's taking responsibility for maintaining standards must do something to address the separate interest. Now, there are different ways to address the separate interest. It's not immediately grab a stick and start hitting somebody. That's not the procedure. The first and most important that's being described here, it's being laid out in the purport, is be exemplary. Be connected to the Supreme. Be completely submissive to the Supreme. The way that Prabhupada is putting it at the end of the purport, he's using this very important word, cooperation, between man and God and man and nature, a cooperative spirit, because there's a plan by the Supreme Lord for everything that's within creation, a plan that serves to elevate the soul. And at the same time, there's the opportunity for the living entity to fulfill material desire, separate from the Lord. You got the contrast? The separate interest program and the cooperative interest program. There's free will. Some people complain, why? He shouldn't give us free will. Just one program. There is other desire. That's why we're in the material world, is we've exercised that other desire, and then different ways of dealing with that separate interest. Regulate it. Subordinate it. Just like that reference from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that I just mentioned. Those that are strict followers of the regulations and those that are not. Their interest should be the will of the Supreme. So I may not be so regulated. I may be fallen. Let my interests toward the Supreme be nurtured. And those that are strict followers are nurturers of that interest in the Supreme Lord. Just like how Prabhupada began the Hare Krishna movement. He didn't begin the Hare Krishna movement with rules. He began the Hare Krishna movement with the holy name. And his example, that was another thing that I shared with this devotee. Originally, in the earliest days, Prabhupada, aside from when he spoke, you know, from the Vyasasan after Kirtan, he taught the devotees Krishna consciousness in the kitchen. And selected devotees would help him in the kitchen, and he would teach them Krishna consciousness in the kitchen, you know, like practical activity. Like cleanliness, very practical consideration. How you speak when you're serving Krishna. Very strict. Because this is going to be offered to Krishna, so it's very strict. And, you know, out in the temple room it was, you know, kirtan. Practical training, very strict, with those that were now to come to the standard of Vaishnavas, qualified to serve the Lord in ways like cooking and deity worship, and in our public speaking. So, effectiveness, whatever our capacity is, here it's the context is a king, but the effectiveness is that strictness of submission to the Supreme Lord. I'll read how Prabhupada writes it very nicely once again. Yeah. Because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, same message as is in the ninth chapter when Bhishma Dev is speaking to Yudhisthira. There's no cause for any anxiety provided these three things are in place. Three things. You follow the codes of Dharma. To understand how to apply those codes of Dharma, you take direction from the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, submissive to the sages. And when you do those things, you do them for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the consciousness behind the activity. And when you live your life that way, there's no cause for anxiety. Because whatever happens is then in the hand of the Lord. So, because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, because he was no one's enemy, and because he was a recognized agent of the Lord, and therefore protected by him, all the citizens under the king's protection were, so to speak, directly protected by the Lord and his authorized agents. So the citizens may not be so Krishna conscious. Family members may not be so Krishna conscious. Community members may not be so Krishna conscious. But it's our responsibility, example-setting Vaishnavas, to have these nice qualities so that the people, by that association, willingly, like Sally Agarwal, willingly accept the holiness of the person. And out of that voluntary respect, become elevated. And then in turn receive the protection of the Supreme Lord. The way this verse is written, and then again repeated in the purport, it's the protection is awesome. I mean, the reference in the verse is Daiva Bhuta Atma. And it refers to the kleshas. So we're familiar, or commonly we hear Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Daivaka Klesha, Adi Bhautaka Klesha. Klesha meaning miseries or sufferings caused by three different sources. So it's packed into the verse. Just by being a qualified king, we're hearing, people didn't have irregularities in weather. Think about what today is like. In the big picture, the world, the irregularities, and caused by daiva, illness diminished. Even it says people didn't get sick; they weren't afflicted by illnesses. And by their own might and body and mind. Just by being under a qualified king, and because of his qualification, having proper regard for him, and by that proper regard for him, being under the protection of the Supreme Lord, because of being under the protection of that person. The picture is really beautiful. It's not expected. Prabhupada said this. Someone did some research and came up with this quote where Prabhupada said it's like a page full of quotes where he said the same thing. It's not to be expected that everybody is going to become a devotee, a Krishna conscious devotee. It's not to be expected. But if a small percentage, and one of the repeated references was, I think it's like 10% of the population, which is like a huge number. But if that happens, then the world becomes Krishna conscious because the Shastas are acting properly. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to become the Shastas. And then by our collective Krishna consciousness, give protection to others who aren't following. Take responsibility, right? It's just like, you know, take it to a more common context and say, get married. You know, all the kids are doing it, get married. And then have children. But anybody that's married and has children understands it's not so easy. I mean, it's easy to get married, it's easy to have children. But, you know, to be free from disturbances in marriage and to raise nice quality children, you have to be really qualified to be in a relationship, a marriage relationship, and have dependents. So I'm trying to take the principles that are being expressed and apply them in a practical way, because it's certainly speaking about a king. But the king, it's a principle. The king is one who leads others. So in our life, we also lead others in very direct ways and indirect ways. As we move about, I was in Bombay. I took a regular checkup at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Everything's good. But just moving around the neighborhood, because the Mira Road Temple is there and the hospital is there, there's like everywhere you see people walking around with bead bags and tilak. All over the place. It's like so many devotees. So they're example-setting persons. And it's not that everyone in that area is going to become a devotee. But those devotees are to be example-setters in how they speak, how they conduct themselves, how they interact, everything. Their quality. I'm just going to do a little over here on the side reference. The story is too long. In Chicago, this is just a for example. It takes too long. In Chicago, for a number of years, 6, 7, 8 years, we've been going to regularly to a particular university. It's Illinois Institute of Technology, IIT. And the student population is 70% foreign students. Of those 70%, 60% are Chinese. 30% are Indian. There's double Chinese students from the Indian students. And the rest is other places, you know, South America and Africa and different places. That's the foreign student population. So, because there's so many foreign students, what they've decided, there's a policy for all foreign students. It's mandatory, it's not optional. You must sign up as an intern for some program where, instead of just the ivory tower theoretical, you have to do practical stuff in America to see how take this theoretical and here's how it works in practical application in America. So different companies, you know, corporate people, they submit applications to the heads of the university to describe a job description, an internship job description for this, that, and the other thing. There were the different departments within the university. Nice program. And it's mandatory. Everyone has to do it. So one of our devotees graduated from there, and they submitted something to the business school marketing division, marketing Krishna consciousness. And he was serious. It was a very serious proposal, because You know, we have a store, we have internet presence, we have a program where the public comes and how to promote that public program. We have a prasadam distribution program at the university. You know, we have different marketing venues. So, I mean, a formal presentation was made to the dean of the marketing school. And he reviewed it and called the devotee to come and speak with him. And he said, this is very interesting. I've never received one like this before. And I like what you're doing. There's only one condition. I will say yes if you don't do your proselytizing, meaning, you know, recruiting people for your religion. But you do the marketing and that's fine. He said, no, marketing. And he kept his word. So, four Chinese students signed up. And at the end of the semester, something like 60 hours for the whole year, they made the little PowerPoint presentations and described what they experienced. There were four of them, plus they had some friends. And so this is just to summarize. So each of them said several consistent things. One, when they first found out it was a religion, they wanted to, I want another option. I don't want to get, and they said, no, they promised they won't do any. So they started apprehensive. That's where it started. And then the next thing that happened, they said, is when they came, they experienced, they treat each other like family. Better than my own family. They treat each other like family. And they're from all different backgrounds and different nations and colors and languages, but they treat each other like family. So I felt, that's nice. The next, they treated us like family. We weren't outsiders looking in. We were welcomed and treated with the same kind of family mood. Then the fourth thing they said is, they're so energetic. That's called kirtan, you know, like dancing and... They had never seen anything like that before, and lots of people had never seen anything like that before, but it was uplifting. We kept our word, we didn't explain what kirtan is. We didn't give them the teachings, we're just having them market what we're doing. So they're energetic. And then another consistent theme, conclusion was, one of the things that I've understood from this experience is I need to have a higher value and purpose in my life. I don't know what it is. But to be honest, I'm here at this university so I can get a good education, so I can get a good job, so I can make money, money, money. One of them said it bluntly. Everybody in China is running after money. And that's why I'm here. But now I understand I need a higher value. I don't know what it is. Because we had kept our word. So at the end he said, well, now that you're finished with this program, if you like, we can invite you to a Bhagavad Gita study. Because we had promised we wouldn't do that. Now, if you wish, you can do that. And we can teach you how to chant and things. But it's like the Sally Agarwal paradigm. Just the context is different. Where we, as devotees, should be exemplary in our interactions with each other. Others notice it. Who don't know who we are and what we are. What's the number of people that come to the temple on an average Sunday, not a big festival? Do you have any idea how many? 10,000? 5? 2,000. According to Gopal Krishna Maharaj, if I understood correctly, on an average Sunday they get 100,000 people at Juhu. And then festival times is like many more. Maybe the number is wrong. Because we were talking about numbers of people that come to Mayapur. And you know how important it is that we're exemplary. The connection is here. There's the king, then there's the citizens of the king. And so there's people that are example setting. We're not like disciplining people, something or other. But we're supposed to be showing by example, this is how to lead your life. And this is how we interact with each other. And when they see that, like these Chinese students, go, wow. I want to find out something more about this. Just by our quality. And then being to the degree that we're having these nice qualities, submissive to the Lord, and the senior Vaishnavas, religious means follow the codes of theistic conduct, be recognized by the Lord for those primary characteristics, then those who come to the temple, the 2,000 people every Sunday that come to the temple that aren't sadhakas and they have habits that aren't, you know, Vaishnava habits, most likely some of them, they'll be elevated and similarly receive direct protection of the Supreme Lord in their lives. That's our service collectively. It's a nice service. It's a responsible service. It's a very important service. This is something that Prabhupada wanted, that his ISKCON would become a training, a group of first class men and women. Because the first class, the Shrestas, are the ones that give the example setting for the others. Tata evi tororjana. Then protection of the Supreme Lord follows. Upliftment of the society follows. And at least progressively, the diminishing of these kleshas follows. So it starts with the leaders, those who have ajatra shatra, those that have no enemy. We're not interested in getting somebody or fulfilling some separate interest. Or, as Prabhupada is putting in the context of animals, exploiting animals and favoring human society. It has its consequential, undesirable features, that mistreatment of others comes back to the human society and creates so many disturbances. And then people wonder why there's enmity amongst men, because it starts with exploitative, the strong and the weak, you know, the whole Darwinian thing. And it's not okay. Those that are stronger to protect the weak, not that those that are stronger to exploit the weak. And that's the plan of the Lord. When there's that cooperation, not because you're strong, you exploit. But when you're strong, you protect. Why? Because it's the will of the Supreme Lord. And we do that in a submissive manner. And those that are weak, we don't compete or whatever it is, you know, the enviousness program, at least for elevation of society, is offer regard and respect and follow nicely and lead nicely. And, you know, we're conditioned souls. We're not perfect leaders and perfect followers. Adhere to the principle for the pleasure of Krishna. Try to be good leaders. Try to be good Vaishnavas, because that's pleasing to Krishna. And follow the indications as best you can by your appreciation for the principles and the good example of you, of those who you know are good example setters. And that way be uplifted, be protected from, be protected from your own impurities. And gradually the impurities will be washed away. That's the progressive Bhagavat Dharma principle. The age of Kali is fraught with turmoil. Hearing and chanting and following the principles of hearing and chanting and following this nice instruction given to us is the path of upliftment. I'm going to end. Hare Krishna.